listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and welcome to the WHFR Journal on this, the 24th day of January, 2025. Susan McGraw with you. On this edition of the Journal, we are celebrating Henry Ford College and our start of the winter semester. We are underway and things are off to a roaring start. We had the pleasure of hearing from our commander-in-chief, our own president of HFC, Russell Cavalluna, Wednesday, January the 8th, as he did his address, his State of the College address to our campus community. We are going to air that at this point in its entirety, and then also have a little bit towards the tail end of some of the new HFC shout-outs that we're doing, an opportunity for colleagues and those working here at HFC to do a shout-out to people that they think are doing an exceptional job. We've got lots of them here at HFC. Enjoy the program. Again, this is the HFC State of the College as originally shared on the 8th of January, 2025.
Welcome back. I have several things I want to talk to you about, but as is customary and one of my privileges, in the years past, we've invited trustees to give introductory remarks to you all at the beginning of our semester, and we're going to do that again today. So as he makes his way up here, I'll introduce Trustee Adel Mosip. Trustee Mosip is an elected official here in Dearborn. As you probably know, for those of you that are new to Henry Ford College, we are a board that serves both the third largest community college in the state and the third largest public school system in the state. And Trustee Mosip is a product of both of our institutions, and he has been elected by his peers in Dearborn to be on our board and served in various leadership capabilities. So I've asked him to make comments. I have to tell you, I didn't tell him I was gonna do this, so he's gonna have to do this on the fly, but I know he can do it because I've done this to him in the past. So please join me in welcoming Trustee Adel Mosip.
Thank you, President Cavalluna. Good morning.
Morning.
We could get a better good morning. Good morning again.
Good morning.
All right. Well, welcome back. It's a new year, new challenges. I'm looking into each one of you to do the best for our students. This is what we're here for. President Cavalluna, over the past years that he's been here, he's been focused on student success and also employee retention. And if you are successful in your position, we know that our students will be successful as well. So I'm looking into this year for successes as well as challenges, and we take them on, and go Hawks. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Mosip. For those of you who don't know, Trustee Mosip has a lot of different hats. One of them is a full-time employee. One of them is elected official. One of them is father. One of them is spouse. So that he can make time this morning is something I appreciate very deeply. Thank you, Trustee Mosip. So, folks, welcome back. I want to give you a little bit of an update on a few kind of housekeeping matters that I know each of you wake up every morning wondering, is Russ going to tell us about enrollment at this State of the College? If you remember, for those of you who've been with me for the last several years, I've made it a very, very high priority in every single one of these State of the Colleges. But I will say, since, I think, Rhonda, is this like the 12th one of these I've done?
At least.
I have seen you all have adopted at least a part of my vigor and focus on enrollment, so I haven't even done an entire slide on it this time, because I know you share my interest in it, but I do feel obligated to give you an update, because as you remember, unlike almost all the community colleges in the state of Michigan, we rely on tuition for the majority of our budget, and I know that, and I make a joke, I know you don't get up in the morning worried about enrollment. I know that. You have far more important things to worry about than enrollment. But Mr. Satkowski and I have to work really hard to give you all the deserving salaries that you work for and to deliver the services, and enrollment is the biggest chunk of our revenue. So, I will tell you that our goal was 108,000 credit hours. I know that doesn't have much context. So just know our goal is a little bit more than 100,000 credit hours. And as of this morning, We are a tiny bit above that goal, which is really, really great. We're about 1,000 credit hours above the goal, which is 1% above the goal. So we're feeling good about this. As you know, enrollment at our institution is a rolling process, and so it goes up and goes down with how students change their enrollment. But for context, you all remember that our highest point in enrollment was right before the pandemic hit. And as the pandemic set in, we went down for several semesters to an aggregate of about 12% reduction. Since about 2.5 years ago, we've been climbing back up out of that hole. And of that 12% we've lost, we've recovered about 7 to 8% of that. So we're making really good progress, and I appreciate all the effort that I know all of you do, because everywhere from campus safety to the classroom, everyone from advising to administration, the work you do to serve students matters in that. So I appreciate that, and I'm happy to report that. Once again, year over year, for the last 2.5 years, we've continued to make progress in that. One of the things that I enjoy doing at these stages of the college is to talk to you about who are our new teammates, and I'm excited to do that here. As you probably remember, for those of you who are veterans of the State of the College, I'll continue to do what we do, which is if you're here and I call your name, please stand up, and if you are not one of the folks on this slide, please join me after I've gotten through all two of the slides so that we can do a warm round of applause for all the people who are standing there. And if you don't want to stand and you are here, that's okay too. But if you are willing to stand, part of our culture here is to welcome you as teammates, because what you'll find that Trustee Moses just mentioned is we have a really, really great tradition of folks who come here, spend years, spend decades, feeling good about the work that they do here, because that's one of the really great benefits. If you do the work here, you are gifted an opportunity to feel good about the work you do. So the first part of that, I hope, is that when I call your name, if you're here, you are welcome to stand, and then once we're through with all the names, then we'll give you a warm welcome applause. My last name's Cavaluna. It's been pronounced many, many different ways. I've learned not to be upset about that. I hope if I mispronounce your name, you will share the same grace that I give those that screw up Cavalahuna, Cavahana, Hawaiian guy, which isn't even accurate. Please join me after I read all the names in welcoming Wafia Alaji from Student Accounts, Jaron Anderson in Facilities, Brandon Baker in Facilities, Michelle Bonilla in Facilities, Danielle Cable from STEM, Juanita Coates in Facilities, Tyrone Collins in Enrollment Services, Brianna Daniel in Facilities, Hannah Goberlein in Academic Advising, Nyree Frazier, Registration and Records, Kelvin Gee in Facilities, Todd Hakem or Akeem in Enrollment Services, Dejane or Deani Hayes, Academic Advising. And if I do this, folks, if you see me, come to me and say, hey, my name is pronounced this way. Andrea Herrera, Admissions and Recruiting. We have, okay, Rhonda's got a new employee. Tori Hoover, Enrollment Services, Cortez Jackson. Cortez, you got to stand up because I know you. I watch you play basketball here, we can give Tez. But stay standing up, Tez. I think you're the first one. All right. See, he was the captain of the basketball team, and he's a leader here at the State of the College. Janine Miles of the Cafe, Aaron Moss Ferguson in Legal Services. You got to stand up too, Aaron. Heather Newman, Admissions and Recruiting. Narali Patel, Registration and Records. Starkia Portia in Facilities. Margaret Roche, or Roche, in HHS. Kanisha Snell, Registration and Records. And Asil Shrar in Academic Advising. Verna Strayhorn, Skylight Cafe. Todd Simington, Sola, and Adam Washalek in Facilities. All right, welcome these folks with me. I also want to congratulate some of my teammates who have been here with us for a while on new roles. If you want to stand up, I would be happy to have you stand up. Again, that's not an obligation, but Karen, we'll applaud each of these individuals after we get through this. Carolyn Addard is in STEM, and Brian Bernard Alicia is new role at facilities. Kayla Collins is a new role in student activities. Fadia Kudri is in STEM. Nagam Mehdi is in STEM. Daniel Murray is our new director of purchasing. Jennifer Padusha is in HHS. Emily Pritchett is in SOLA. Ali Schumer is in STEM. Tasneem Saus is in STEM. And Christina Wu is in campus safety. Please join me in welcoming them to New York. All right. Some of our folks are in long paths to achieve specific accomplishments in their professional careers. One of those paths is achieving tenure. We have two of our colleagues from the faculty who have achieved tenure. They are Marissa Ferrari and Massimo Pizzino. And I didn't see Professor Pizzino here, but I do know, is he here? Okay. I do know he's following in some pretty big footsteps. Actually, they're sitting next to him. Those footsteps are his father. So it is a particular point of pride for me to see both Professor Pizzino's up there. Congratulations to you both. You may have seen that we did have some of our folks move to the wonderful green fervent pastures of retirement in the last several months. One is Kevin Culler, one is Priscilla Proctor, one is Brenda Redinger. I met Brenda Redinger's replacement, Ms. Davis. Ms. Davis, she's so new, it's her first day today. She didn't make it on the slide, but you're gonna be there in the fall, Ms. Davis. David Rossi from Facilities and Larry Smirsky. I hope you had an opportunity to talk with some of these folks. Some of these folks had decades of service at Henry Ford College, and having to say goodbye to them was bittersweet. And filling their shoes is, frankly, impossible. But we do want to honor them, and please join me. They're probably not here, but in their absence, we'll say thank you with a round of applause. Of course, one of the most difficult things to do is to become a doctor. And we have one of those folks who's elevated those lofty levels today. You know, and I trust you've met our esteemed colleague, doctor now, Cassandra Fluker, who earned her doctorate. I didn't see, is Dr. Fluker here? Okay, you got to stand up while I read the title of your dissertation. So she's a doctorate of community college leadership from Ferris State University, having survived her defense of her dissertation, which was the impact of support services on the career decisions process among Detroit Promise Path students. A couple of housekeeping matters that I want to get you all up to date with that I know, I was going to make a joke about how you all wonder about the outflow at the back of the campus, but the reality is you probably don't. But I want you to be aware, we're going to do a construction project out on the west side of campus. For those of you that make use of the trail back there, I can't remember, remind me the name of the trail.
Gateway.
I thought it was a Rouge Trail. Anyways, the Gateway Trail has access, and you know that little walking path that goes from the access point all the way over to U of M Dearborn. That's going to be closed as depicted here on this chart. You can find out more about that on our website, but the reality is we have to do a repair under that retention wall that stops erosion from the drainage that comes from our parking lot out there into the Rouge. And we worked really hard to make sure that those of you that enjoy access to the trail there won't lose that. And so you'll have a little circuitous route to still get there. If you're like me and like to use that trail, we will still have access to that. although it's days like today, I'm probably not missing much. All right, what else do we have? We have a convocation that I want you to be aware of. Frankly, far more exciting and meaningful than the closure of the Gateway or potential outflow construction. You probably know that I've been working closely with our new Executive Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging, Tracy Davis, and her good work has brought us the opportunity to have a convocation January 16th from 4 to 5:30. That'll be in the Rosenau Room. You're all welcome. I encourage you to attend. This will be an interesting thing, the second year we've done it in collaboration with two other community colleges, Oakland Community College and Macomb Community College. We have a really great featured speaker who some of you may know has had an extraordinarily consequential life from having been wrongfully accused and convicted and imprisoned for a crime of violence in New York City. And now has become an elected public official and will talk with us about Dr. King's legacy, which frankly would not be something our students or you would have the benefit of if you didn't have the support and leadership from Tracy Davis and with support from the foundation of Reginald Best. So I encourage you to join me there. We are not above bribing you to attend, which includes food, and I'm excited that you'll consider to come be with us there for that presentation. Dr. Michael Nealon wants to announce a couple of interim roles that your colleagues have been willing to take on. One is Tracy Baratek, Interim Director of Learning Lab. Is Tracy here today? Hey, Tracy. Tracy was also instrumental in helping us in the part I'll talk about in a bit, which is the new edition of our strategic plan, so I appreciate her taking this interim role. Bridget Smith-Botos is the Interim Director of Academic Services. Bridget, here. Yay. I also want you to be aware that another thing I know you lay at night awake wondering, when are we going to get to do an HLC accreditation visit again? And if you've been waiting year after year, this is your year. And if you haven't been waiting, please do know this is very important. Jokes aside, the United States government gives us a lot of money to serve students in the way of financial aid. And as it currently stands, the United States Department of Education authorizes entities like Higher Learning Commission to make us approved through accreditation processes to receive those federal funds. So every several years, we are obligated and should take the opportunity to see how we're doing and whether we do indeed deserve to be accredited for those funds and for all the other wonderful works that you all do. It can be a little bit of a difficult process, but it's always easier when you have teammates like Dr. Lori Gongo and Betsy Cohen to help you do it. Because frankly, those are two of the most reliable, intelligent, team-based people I know really anywhere, but certainly here at Henry Ford College. So you'll be hearing from them. Many of you will be doing work as part of this accreditation process. I won't go into the gory details of what that entails, but two big parts of it that I want you to be aware of are, number one, we have to write a statement that assuring the credit agency, an assurance statement that we are worthy of their accreditation. And that's a heavy lift, both work and thought and writing. Betsy Cohen has done that now. This will be the second time during my tenure. Is Betsy here? Hi, Betsy, in the back. Let's all say thanks to Betsy. Betsy, this is the second time you've done the accreditation assurance argument for us, or for me and us, during my tenure. How many of them occurred before I was here?
One.
So this is number three. We had two really good results, and we know we'll have a third good result with Betsy at the helm. And then, of course, Dr. Gongo, the vice president of many items, including IR and HR, will be assisting Betsy Cohen. So please do look for them when they ask for your help, because they certainly don't know everything about our institution, but they're obligated to present a piece of material that outlines nearly everything. So they may be coming to you. The next thing I talked about, I hinted at a little bit of when I introduced Tracy and her new role, Tracy Veritek and her new role, because we did conduct strategic planning revision, and she was on that committee, and I want to talk a bit about that so that you're aware of what our strategic plan is now revised to be. And I keep saying revised because we did not take the old plan and start over, and that was intentional, and it was collaborative and a consensus from the board to the administration to the staff and collective bargaining and faculty senate. And one of the people that deserves a lot of credit about the work that I'm about to describe is the person that co-chaired it with me. I didn't see him yet, but I know he's got to be here because he's going to take over the stage. Okay, I do see him now. So I want to thank and appreciate the co-chair of the work I'm about to describe and ask him to stand. It's Dr. Michael Hill. So Dr. Michael Hill is the chair of the Faculty Senate, and he helped me co-chair this group that took on this idea. Well, if we had a plan and it was only 2 years long and we're going to revise it, what should we do? And that is the work we took up. So I want to go through this part, this new strategic plan with you, and then I want to ask if you were on that committee with Dr. Hill and me to prepare to stand up, because I want to thank you for all the work you've done. So let me back up. This infographic describes what we came to as a college with a strategic plan about 3.5 years ago, and this was the good work of Dr. Michael Nealon and Dr. Lori Gonsor and the group that did that work. Was it 3.5 years ago, Dr. Nealon?
Yeah.
3.5 years ago, and this summarizes what we believe are the ways we live out what our mission is in looking at what we want to achieve. And of course, it is an abide, advancing, belonging, inclusion, diversity, and equity around and all the way through our four pillars of success, which are access, retention, completion, and transfer. And if we do those things well, we define that as student success. Now, those pillars were, as I mentioned, four. One of them is access. And if you decide you want to go back and look at what we had previously for the strategic plan, it was a two-year plan that went from 2022 to 2024. It had these same four pillars with slightly different goals. We've just updated those goals because as the first 2 years of our strategic plan occurred, we accomplished some things. We kind of accomplished some things and other things we didn't do so well on. And I'm happy to talk with any of you about those things. I absolutely want you to understand the value of this plan is both the clarity of it and its simplicity, really. It's very clear and concise, but also the transparency. If you want to ask about what happened on one of these goals from the previous rendition, I will tell you where we were successful and where we were unsuccessful, or I'll point you to many of the public statements we've made about them. But those things we did, well, not so well, and kind of middling, informed these new renditions of the plan. And the first access priority involves two goals. We really do believe we want to make our life-changing opportunities at Henry Ford College more accessible to those that have historically not had access to higher education, and certainly not the best institution in our region, which is Henry Ford College. And we've identified those by the fact that we don't have as many enrolled in two demographic groups, and those are African American and Hispanic Latino. So we've made an adjustment to our previous goal, which is the same demographics, but an attempt to increase enrollment there. We're going to be going after that for the next 2 years, which is this new rendition of the plan. The second priority is retention. And retention is our goal that once we get students in, it does no good for them to toil away in your classrooms and in your counseling offices and your advising departments if they don't get through to have a valuable, better life afterward. And that is really what we're trying to achieve. The data is very clear across all institutions that serve students like us. If students who are in full-time accrue more credits over a shorter amount of time, they have a better chance of staying in and getting through. Now, trust me, I know that doesn't mean just handing out credits, and I have no worry about that, because I know the folks that do the work that judge when someone is deserving of credits would never change that standard. But we do need to consider, when we're asking students to take it seriously, they devote their time and their effort to Henry Ford College and their future, that they will do better. The data are so clear. They will do better if we, when they're full-time, get them to a place of achieving more credits in a shorter amount of time. Same thing with part-time. And we know that the majority of our students are part-time, but we still endeavor to have them achieve more credits. And I know that those of you who interact on the front lines with these students know this. Those that take 4 and 6 semesters and 8 semesters and 12 semesters, semester after semester, it just decreases their opportunity to get through with a meaningful credential, which is what makes a better life for them. So these are updated goals on the retention priority. The completion priority is what we just talked about. For a long time, we were not where we wanted to be on graduation rate, and there are a lot of our reasons for that. But what we did was we grabbed onto this idea that we wanted to at least identify what we hope to achieve in a graduation rate. And I can tell you, I'm the first to tell you, that a graduation rate is not the only, nor is it even one of the best ideas to judge any higher education institution, much less one like Henry Ford College, where we are the second highest percentage of students who are receiving Pell eligible. Those are tough populations to help get through, I know that, which artificially depress our graduation rate, but we still took on a serious attempt to increase our graduation rate, and we made an outstanding success on that. And so we've included just a little bit of an increase on where we want to be in graduation rate, and you can see it here with our completion. The next priority is transfer, because we do know that the data there are also abundantly clear. For students to have a better life, frankly, for most of the people in this room to have a better life, the achievement of a 4-year degree is the most directly correlated data point for our society. Now, we know that the majority of our students who come to us and then eventually achieve a 4-year degree do so somewhere else. And so transferring those students on is something that we've made a priority, and our goal here will be to have a higher percentage of our students who come to us and get some type of certificate or degree from us and then transfer to a 4-year institution. These are not extraordinarily new to our institution. In fact, they're slight tweaks to what our goals were in the previous rendition of our strategic plan. But they are where we're going to continue. And one of the things I can tell you that in the first 2 years of our strategic plan that we had that I learned, that I think I probably could have done better at, was to give more authority to individuals to achieve the goals in the priorities. You may recall that we built teams, and teams built strategies, and those strategies were our attempts to kind of move the needle in those 4 priorities during the first 2 years of our strategic plan. But I should have identified a go-to person who was going to make it part of their annual workload to try to advance these goals. And I'm going to remedy that mistake this time by identifying those vice presidents who, well, were also part of our strategic planning process. They now have, as from me, from our board, a direct relation to these goals. And I'm proud of the people that I've listed here, because I know that they're the best people to achieve those goals. But I also know that they'll want your feedback. Because that was one thing I think we did well, was we got good ideas from those of you who are on the front line. So please, I hope you know all these folks. And if you don't, please come to me, because I'll introduce you. These folks will be thinking about these goals every single week. And if you have ideas, or if you have plans, or if you want to help, or frankly, if you have criticisms about what we're doing in any of these goals, I want you to come to me or these vice presidents who are tasked with chasing these goals for the next 2 years. And that's the last thing I'll say about the strategic plan before I'll ask everyone who served on this last committee to stand, is that we've specifically kept this plan to one page. Because I just don't want you to have to wonder what is important to us. I want us to be able to say to any external entity, here's why we think we're great. Here's what we will be when we achieve our goal. In one page, that kind of clarity you won't find in most institutions, frankly, that do anything, for-profit, non-profit, higher ed. And second, it's a 2-year plan. It should feel urgent. It should feel just a little bit of a push. I and the team believe that if we had a 5-year plan that was 14 pages and an uncountable number of goals, that we wouldn't have the precision or urgency. So it comes with that, what comes with that is some risk. And I want you to know that I understand the risk. I report to a board that could look at this and say, Cavallini, you didn't meet these goals. Shame on you. Get the heck out of here. I understand that. But that's what our public entities deserve to give our voters. And so what I'd say to you is, these are aspirational goals. And if we can't make them, we'll learn and improve. Heck, that's what we should be all about. But if it looks steep, if it looks challenging, join me in going after these goals. So there's a group of people that I think bought that and helped us bring this plan, this new rendition, to the strategic to the Board of Trustees, who unanimously adopted this second rendition of this plan. So if you did serve on our strategic plan committee, led by Dr. Hill, who's now going to stand, please join me in standing, and please join me in welcoming applause for these individuals who helped us with this strategic plan rendition. So don't sit down. Stay standing up. Stay standing up. I mean it, folks. Look at these folks. I want you to, because we all know these people. I know every single one of them. You know them. If you don't know these people, or if you need to be introduced, let me know. But I know most of you do know these folks. They're really good teammates. I'm really proud to have worked with all of you. But these people standing up, I mean it. Go to them. Ask them, hey, what's going on with that second priority? Why did Cavallini do this? Or what were you guys thinking about that? Or, hey, have you thought about being able to do this? I mean that. Hey, look at these people. You know them. You trust them. Find someone to connect with about this strategic plan. So, okay, sorry, guys. You can sit down. Thank you. All right. Has anyone heard about a new building coming to campus? Does anyone want to talk a little bit about that? All right. So, let's start talking about the Southeast Michigan Student Success Center, which is something that you're all, I hope, aware of, and if you're not, I'm going to talk a bit about. But one of the most important things about this Southeast Michigan Student Success Center, or SEMSI, is that we want your opportunity, you have as many opportunities as I can imagine for you to give feedback about what it should be, what it shouldn't be, how it should look, how it should feel, how it should operate. And we've had a lot of opportunity for you all to give feedback on that, but I want to remind you that one of the ways to do it is the least intrusive in your life, and that is to just give us electronic feedback, and the way you can do that is here. If you ever just want to give me feedback, you can reach out to me. Many of you have done that, but I want you to be aware that this is a way you can do it. All right. Oh, did I lose batteries on this? Uh-oh. Maybe I turned it off. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wait. Wait. All right. So I definitely got out of sequence here. So there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Rhonda. So this is a picture looking north from the south part of our campus. On the right side of that picture is Evergreen, which, for those of you that don't remember, look how nice and smooth that green looks right there. That black top, no one's breaking tires there this year, or for the last couple of years. And we waited until that was nice and smooth to put a building. No, that's not true. We've been working for 4.5 years to try and find a solution to the part of this building, the part of this campus that's in the left-hand side of this campus. That's the old liberal arts building, the Ruther building. And we're really excited that this this SEMSI is going to replace that building and give us an opportunity to accomplish several very, very big transformational needs at this campus. The first is, for those of you who live and teach and work in that liberal arts building, you know that it's outdated. You know that it's not what you would want to work in or want to learn in. So we need a replacement for that. We also know that, for those that live and work in this Welcome Center, you know it's not even on this picture. It's way on the top left. It literally feels like it's out on in the edge of our campus. We need to bring that to a place where people, if we say you're welcome to Henry Ford College, it's right off the main road that's nice and smooth now. So we need to have that right in this circled area. And then, of course, we have a really nice green space in our campus, but it's kind of truncated by that middle building. We need to open up that green space, and we need to have just a chance to say to our graduates, when you graduate, you don't have to leave campus. When your families and your friends come to see you get your diploma or your certificate, you can do it where you learned. And so we're hopeful to be able to have this project give us at least a chance to have an outdoor place where we can congratulate our students as they achieve graduation. Those were the three big things we wanted to accomplish, and man, it took a long time to build the money. But we're at that place now. So for the last 6 months, we've been trying to figure out what we wanted to do to build in this place that I've circled here with a red circle. To achieve all those goals, and then so many more. And with any major project, and by the way, folks, it's going to cost about $90 million, and that's almost an entire year's operating expense. It's going to be the largest project we've ever had on this campus in its entire 87-year history. It's going to be exciting, but it's also going to be a little bit difficult to make sure that we answer as many questions as we have and try to answer as many needs as we get. So, we've been working on that quite a bit, and you know we've used a broad coalition of people to select an architect. We've used a broad coalition of folks to select a construction firm. That architect has started meeting with groups of stakeholders on this campus. As recently as November, I hosted a town hall where we talked about what this project would look like. I've identified four people who are going to be on a steering committee that are trying to gather the feedback as much as possible, and that's Vice President John Satkowski. You know him as the Chief Financial Officer, who, by the way, I'll tell you, there's no way we get to a place, man, John and I started this probably 6 years ago. How are we gonna push together the pennies to try to replace the liberal arts building? How are we gonna do it? And there's no way we get to this expense. In fact, when we finally started thinking that we might be able to do this, that was 2 years ago, and the price was $70 million. In 2 years, the price, same building, has gone up $20 million. There's no way we get there without Vice President Satkowski helping me try to figure out how we'd find the money. And we have, and I'm happy to talk with you about the way we get the money. It's not going to be anything that puts the college in anything negative. In fact, most of it's coming from support from external entities or the voters of Dearborn. But he's joined on the steering committee with Brad Romans, who's the dean of SOLA, the facilities director, who's Ruben Bruckley, and Vice President Holly Diamond. I've also asked Holly Diamond to take on a direct interaction with Stan Tech, who's the architect. She's meeting with that group almost weekly. And I've also asked her, for those of you that are particularly interested in giving your feedback, I've asked Holly Diamond to be the point of contact for me if you choose not to meet directly with me. Some of you have done that. And she's undertaken that role. But the thing I'd like to ask you on this is keep in mind when you're starting to feel worried or when you're starting to wonder, is Cavalier going to screw up the way I have to do my work? Because if we don't have this set up this way, or I promise I will make every opportunity, and the entire team doing this work will make every opportunity for your voice to be heard and for you to have a thoughtful answer to your concerns. But when that sneaking suspicion comes into your mind that, you know, they've got something they're not telling us, or I don't know that these people know what they're doing, or this is kind of a scary thing, it may not be done well, please, number one, find someone to talk to, including me, because I will work with you to try and dispel those concerns, or at least limit them. But number two, don't lose sight of what a great opportunity this is. I became your teammate 6.5 years ago, and I knew that this was one of the liberal arts building and a new welcome center was one of the things that we had to try and accomplish, but I gotta be honest with you. I just didn't think it was possible. I didn't see how we were gonna come up with the money and the ability to do that. But we're here. We're here, and so this is a really exciting time, and I please ask you to keep that in mind. It is an exciting thing. There won't be, if history serves, there won't be another one of these for another 90 years. Now, I hope that's different. I hope we get to do one of these every 3 years. But the truth is, this is really exciting, and it's as a result of the work that you all have done. People in Lansing gave us $10 million, but nothing to do with this college. People at Wayne County gave us $6 million. The voters of Dearborn renewed a millage that is expensive for them, all because they're investing in what you do. So keep in mind, this is a really exciting time that I'm really excited to continue doing with you. All right. Again, questions, comments, please let me know through this feedback. I want to tell you about Juneteenth. Some of you know about this, but you may have asked yourself, well, isn't this a holiday we should recognize? The answer is yes. We probably should have recognized it before, but we will starting this year. I've talked with Tracy Davis, my colleague, has recommended this. I have accepted it. We have worked with collective bargaining and all the other associated administrative offices that Juneteenth will be recognized on campus. This year will be the first year, and as long as I'm around, it'll be recognized as a holiday that the college recognizes. This year it'll be June 19th. For those of you who don't know, this is a day commemorating the struggle that our nation and our citizens have gone through to understand the liberation of enslaved people. It is an extraordinarily important, difficult, and real part of our American history that we will now recognize as a college by having the college recognize it as a holiday. All right, Rhonda, I thought I'd get in under 30 minutes, but I'm doing better each time, a little better. We're going to start our community conversation, which is, for those of you that are new, there are two of these states of the college each year, and the one in the fall is a little more heavy with administration discussion and updates on things. The one in January that we're at now tends to be a little bit shorter if I do my job, and what we did a couple times ago was to start an opportunity for those of us to kind of reconnect with each other as we come off of a break from the college being closed. And one of the ways that I really like to do that is to have opportunities for those of us who work with Sue or Tom or Jan to say, hey, Sue, I really like working with you, or I didn't realize it, but you did a great job on this. And the reality is when I kind of encourage that, I'm excited to know that it happens. So, again, not above bribing. If you don't have occasion to interact with my office, when you come to my office, you'll meet one of the best, hardest working HFC graduates, multi-decade employee, and that's Patty Flogus, and she has figured out a way to wrap real original Hershey's bars, which are fantastic, and they've been in my office for a couple of months now, and I can't believe there's any left. But they're wrapped in thanks for being a Hawk hero, and that's how I'm going to bribe you to consider talking about your teammates in a way that gets us going into a new semester where we're feeling good about working together, serving students. So warm you can walk outside in this weather, eat your chocolate, and not even feel the cold. It wouldn't be possible if I didn't show you the way, at least a little bit. Because here's the thing. You know, with the president's office, you get a lot of feedback, especially if you drive Patty crazy by saying, the door's open. Anyone who wants to come meet with me can meet with me at any time, anytime. And Patty has to organize that schedule, which is why it drives her crazy. But you get a lot of complaints. You get a lot of strong feedback. But what you also do is get some folks that say, hey, you know, these people that I work with, they're really great. That happens throughout the year. And I think it's important for leaders of institutions to encourage that. Both the criticisms and the feedback, but also the times where we think, you know, it's really great that I get to work with this person. It's really, really nice to have someone like this person that I get to rely on. And I want to share something that came into my office from one of our colleagues in the faculty, Dr. John Michael Seffel. Now, Dr. Seffel is relatively new to the college. I think Dr. Nealon, is this his third year?
What is that?
He's not here.
Two? Three?
He's not been here for the two decades that a lot of us have. not me. And he writes something, and he would be here, but of course he's actually on the road with award-nominated theater students because he is a speech and theater instructor. And he said, you know, if I were there, I'd stand up and I'd say these things. And I just, you know, these folks deserve the recognition, no doubt, but it's an example of what really speaks to the culture at Henry Ford College. Because this is a relatively new person to Henry Ford College, talking about people who've been here for quite a while. And, you know, when you give speeches, you're told, don't do long quotes. People don't like to hear you read other people's words. But I got to tell you, every rule has an exception, and here is one. Let me read to you what Dr. Seffel said. First, he wanted to talk about Reuben Brucken. Quote is, "He's worth his weight in gold. Our relationship is me approaching him with problems and him dealing with them with kindness, understanding, and patience. The fact that he handles as much as he does with so much grace and with such a student-focused approach is just part of the reason he's a vital member of this campus. His team respects him as much as I do, which is undoubtedly part of the reason they shine so brightly." I haven't seen him this morning. Reuben, are you here? He's probably out fixing a problem. I will make sure, ladies and gentlemen, to get Reuben a chocolate bar. And when you see him, please say, "Hey, I thought that was pretty nice. Dr. Seffel said some pretty nice things about you." And Reuben embodies, just like all of us folks do, both sides of that coin. If you have a complaint or a concern about the way Reuben's doing his job or one of his employees are, please feel free to let him or me know. The second one is Diane Hess. And I can tell you, she's not here because I took this email that Dr. Seffel gave me and I shipped it off to these three people right away. And I said, it just warms my heart that you all are doing such good work. Someone went out of their way to say some great things about you. And of course, all these three people are very humble and gracious. And so Diane reached out to me and said, "Just by the way, don't talk about me because I'm not going to be there. I'm the one working at the Welcome Center during these." And I said, "Well, too bad. I'm still going to talk about you." So here's what Dr. Seffel said about Diane Hess, and that she is perhaps the most patient person I've ever met. "I often have to approach Diane to admit that students have been late with time cards, have missed paperwork, or are accidentally tossing sand into the payroll gears. Every time, Diane calmly helps these students, assures them that all will be well, and has done so with a smile on her face. Her positivity is welcome and contagious, and I am thankful to have her as part of our community." So I also will make sure that Diane gets one of these chocolate bars. But this last person that Dr. Seffel, who, as you can tell now, both has a way with words and really knows how to see other people's work, which is the real value here, isn't it? When you see somebody else's work, I mean, it doesn't take much. You literally just have to say, "Hey, Sam, I saw the work you did in the strategic plans. I liked it. I'm glad you're on the team." Literally, just that little small bit. And that doesn't even stop you from having the other conversation, which is, "You know what? Russ, I didn't like the way you handled that." You can do both. In fact, we should do both. Now, Dr. Seffel didn't do that in this email, but he has given me some negative feedback. The last positive feedback he gave me in the email was, "Third, I am so proud of the boundless positive influence and assistance Dr. Adriza Caesar has offered our students. I have witnessed her influence in keeping students enrolled who were otherwise on the verge of being lost, and on countless other students who succeeded far more than they thought they were capable of, thanks to her efforts to enable them with tools, accommodations, and self-confidence." Now, if you don't know, I'm not done, but if you don't know, because Dr. Caesar is relatively new to the college also, she's in assisted learning services. She's got the new teammate, Ms. Davis, I believe is her name. And Dr. Seffel, a lot of faculty members will have to go to Dr. Caesar to say, "Hey, Dr. Caesar, I need help with this student, or this student needs an accommodation," or things of that nature. Very, very important work. You probably remember her predecessor, Maureen. So it literally is the lifeline that many students need to have Dr. Seffel call it out. And he finishes with, "When I'm working with a student who is struggling, it is so empowering to know that someone as brilliant, empathetic, and motivated as Dr. Adriza is only a phone call away." So Dr. Adriza, you're here. You're going to have to stand up and take an applause. So I will make sure a chocolate bar gets to you. In fact, because you brought a new teammate, you'll get two. What I'd like to do now is we can do a couple different things, and I'll let you kind of just lead it by your voices. If you do want to call out your colleagues, I've got lots of chocolate bars somewhere. that, and I've got runners. I would do it too, but I'll fall and injure myself. I actually did fall on that Gateway Trail, Rhonda.
Oh, no.
It was 2 years ago.
Again?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we should close that. So please do consider coming. We got microphones there. And by the way, I don't want this to just be a forced march of congratulations to each other. If you got concerns, and that's part of the culture here. If you're like, hey, Russ, I want to know about this. I don't like that you did that. That's perfectly acceptable. The community conversation is that. I want to hear your questions. I want to hear your feedback. And I am all that's standing between you and either chocolate for your colleagues, or after this, when we do conclude, Dr. Hill will lead the Faculty Senate in its next part of this morning's presentation. So, who amongst you want to start? Either questions or comments about your colleagues? Who wants to give someone a bar of chocolate?
I do.
Yeah, Dr. Nealon will take the charge. He'll take the charge.
Okay, checking the mic. I'll take the chocolate, not the charge. I want to take a moment to just recognize the fact that we are on the doorstep of really revolutionizing the way that we approach academic operations. I know sometimes we don't think that deeply about doing the business of academic affairs, but it is very complex work, and there's no question that it's directly tied to the success of our students and every one of those priorities. Our adoption of a brand new platform, to the extent that we're going to do so here as a flagship institution, this course dog platform that will enable us to use predictive analytics to push out to students what it is that they need to stay on track to complete in a timely fashion and reach the dreams and goals that they came here with. That is all made possible by so many people, and there are lots of opportunities for you to get involved as we begin to roll forth this implementation. But I do want to recognize some people, I hope they're in this room, who are doing right now the lion's share of the thinking, organization, and leadership behind this. First, no one more so than Denise Pichet, our project manager in Academic Affairs Division. And also, Bridget Smith-Bodos, who was already introduced, she's brand new, and the first thing I did was to say, guess what? Just added something to the top of the to-do list there. And our own David Mayer. Did I see David in here? David's doing a phenomenal job in helping us navigate how do we get what's happening in the curriculum management system over. By the way, none of that happens easily, and so we appreciate upfront the work that Michael Webner and his team are going to be able to do to help make that possible for us. Karen Sedanowitz is critical as we look at how to best allow students to have the most well-thought-out course schedule, and that we push out to them the courses when they need them, in the delivery modes that we need them. We eradicate the need for wait lists, and we accommodate all of our students. And behind the scenes, but very, very integral to this work, Jerry Kondrachik and Brian Johnson on the IT side. There are many more, but I wanted to call those folks out. And as this rolls out, look for communications from them inviting you to get involved, at least to participate in think tank opportunities where we can kind of play forwards how we might best want to design this platform to suit our needs. Thank you all. You want to give a shout out? Just raise your hand.
Mine is for Jesse Mason. If you don't know Jesse, he's a new faculty member, and you got to stand up while I talk about him. In fact, that's a new rule, so if you're going to call someone out, like they're here. Yeah. Jesse's a new instructor here. He teaches astronomy, and my board was curious about the planetarium, which is a fantastic but somewhat underknown quality of Henry Ford College. And I asked Jesse to come make a presentation at the Board of Trustees meeting, which is, it's a little bit of an extra assignment beyond what someone in his role should have to do. It can be a little bit intimidating, but I just have to say, just what a fantastic presentation. If you haven't met this man, he's like all of our instructors, calm and deliberate, and got some interesting questions that he handled with aplomb. And I enjoyed the presentation. I learned from it. You helped me in a place, I see you around campus, and you're one of many of the people I see. I'm just like, oh man, I'm glad I work here because that guy does too. And I hope you like chocolate. All right. Yes.
Go ahead, Ryan. Hi, I'm Rhonda Johnson. I previously reported to Kevin Collar. I'll miss him dearly. I report directly to John Sikowski. You mentioned in almost every one of these that the college survives mostly on tuition. And I'd like to introduce to you my team, who is like fantastic, so quiet, so underrepresented. And if I would like our student accounts and cashier staff and previous cashier staff members to please stand.
And we'll leave it at that. Henry Ford College, State of the College, from Russell Cavalluna and members of the campus community. Again, broadcasting for the first time here today, but actually taking place Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Be well. And thank you for listening to WHFR Dearborn.
South of Memphis, Tennessee.